Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. Hope everybody's staying warm out there. Welcome into the DNVR Rams podcast, actually DNVR Rams Live special edition presented by High Plains Strains, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. If you give them a visit, be sure to mention DNVR to take advantage of all their deals. I'm Justin Michael. I'm joined by my main man in crime, Andre Simone.
That's right.
We're both layered up. It's cold out, but really excited for today's show because we're going to be joined by Nico Medved, CSU men's basketball coach. Yep. Really appreciate him. I mean, there are a lot of coaches I've worked with over the years that wouldn't come on the show after a two-game winning streak, let alone, you know, dropping two tough conference games. The fact that he's willing to come and, you know, kind of talk about how this team needs to respond, it says a lot about the program, says a lot about his character. Really looking forward to picking his brain. But we're going to talk a little bit of football first because we've got some portal news. You were actually bugging me the other day. I think you're kind of itching to talk a little football because we hadn't done it in a while.
Always.
You know, the Rams picked up a cornerback in Elias Larry, multi-year starter for Navy, 6 foot, 197 pounds, spent the last three seasons there. He'll have 1 to 2 years of eligibility. TBD, we shall see on that. But 40 total tackles, 2 interceptions, a couple of PBUs in 25 career games. I know we're just kind of dipping our toes in. We haven't had a chance to do a full like prospect breakdown and all
sure.
What stood out to you when you kind of checked him out a little bit?
Yeah, he plays with good size. He's aggressive in the way he attacks the ball. He's aggressive in, you know, I mean, obviously playing at Navy, you're going to have to be physical coming downhill and be ready to tackle. So he's got that. At 6 foot, a buck 97, you have him here. I mean, he plays up to that size. He probably plays even a little bigger. And I'm really impressed in kind of how he defended deep balls from the little bit that I've dug into at right now, right? Like those on-ball stats you just mentioned, he makes those count. And he's making those on big plays. So, you know, a guy who doesn't have a ton of eligibility left, a guy who's already got some experience at, you know, same level. It's kind of a lateral move aside from all the off-field stuff that Navy has going on, right? That's a little more.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be able to focus solely on football, so I imagine it'll be kind of, I mean, school too, but let's be real. We all know that going to CSU is not going to the Naval Academy.
Yeah, I
graduated from there after all.
Wow.
But no, this is a big pickup for this team. The depth at corner was a big question mark. I think they could still probably afford to add another veteran corner or two, just given the fact that you lose Chigozie Anuzium. He's going to go off to the NFL. Ron Harge has declared for the NFL as well. Oregon State transfer. You knew you were going to lose those guys. They only had 1 year of eligibility left last year anyways. But the big one is obviously losing TJ Crandall, true freshman that popped a lot. He transfers to West Virginia. That's a bummer. He's a projected starter.
That
you
is
know,
a big one.
You're hoping that this guy can come in and kind of help fill that role because you've got some young guys that are up and coming. They've got some other guys that maybe you kind of transition from safety, especially given the fact that you've got Blackburn and Howell and Hector and all these guys coming back. But just from a depth perspective alone, getting a guy that's been a multi-year starter at a comparable level, it gives you a little bit of sigh of relief.
Well, and who is coming in expecting to compete for a starting job at a premium spot? And should be, you know, right in the competition to be cornerback one, cornerback two, cornerback three.
Yeah.
You know, some version of that and brings that physicality to the table and some experience. So, I mean, can't ask for much more than that.
The Rams now don't have a huge transfer class. They picked up a couple of offensive linemen, corner, linebacker would be a position I'll be interested to see, though. There are some young guys that they really like there. So maybe they just kind of stick with what they've got in-house and count on some of those guys to take the next leap in their next year in the system. We've got another update, though, and that's where a couple of former Rams are now headed. And Right. Lewis Brown, wide receiver, really popped this year as a sophomore. He entered the portal.
No.
Was a tough one for Ram fans. A lot of us, myself included, had kind of heard some whispers that he had been kind of basically had been told that if he were to portal, there were going to be some pretty big schools that were interested in him. I had heard some Pac-12 schools. But what was interesting is when this whole process played out, he only posted about offers from Washington State, San Diego State, and Northern Arizona, none of which are really an upgrade, I don't think, from CSU. But interesting to see him stay within the conference, kind of a tough blow there. He's a Southern Cali kid, but he ends up with Sean Lewis, who obviously got a front row seat to Lewis Brown in the showdown.
The breakout game.
Yeah.
I mean, it never got better than that, you know? And I think it's why a lot of people were high on Lewis Brown is his biggest game comes in, the biggest game, the game that kind of had the, you know, I mean, record viewership and all that. And he tops it off with the big touchdown and the Dirty Bird dance, right? That's what he did.
Yeah, so, he did Dion. I mean,
a pretty epic moment in showdown history. We'll always have that.
Maybe that's why he ended up there. Maybe deep down, you know, Sean Lewis has some spite for Dion. He did, you know, demote him after all. It worked out for him, but I got to bring this kid in. You know, he's willing to dance in his face.
It's a classic, right? We always see like, oh, you played well against one team and then they might be more interested in you in the pros. And now you're kind of seeing that in college. I like Lewis Brown. I liked what he brought to the table. I think it's also fair to say we didn't see a ton out of him in the second half of the year. He didn't necessarily, you know, have any breakout games while Torrey was dealing with different injuries. And, you know, it's a tricky part of where the Rams are at right now is you're going to have to lose some guys potentially. But I think as long as it's the guys you're willing to lose, you're okay. Like the priority was making sure you could hold on to BFN, Horton, Kudos.
Gatkuth.
I literally said it right 2 minutes ago off air. That's my name. I love that kid, though. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's your Mo replacement right off the bat.
Yeah.
And they've kind of played him off ball enough to where I wonder how much he factors into your linebacker stuff, right?
Yeah, he's got some versatility to him, and they've got a lot of depth at edge with some of these young guys. So it'll be interesting to kind of see if he ends up being more of that defensive end with his hand on the ground like Mo, right. Or do you kind of try and transition him where he's probably going to play so at the next long. Level anyways, just yes. With that length.
So long. I'd play him hand in the ground for sure. And, you know, O-line was such a huge improvement last year. You're losing a lot of guys, right? You replaced that with some vets. Corner came in as a question mark, up and down at best season for the position. So you can handle losing some guys and replacing them. Like, you might even feasibly make an upgrade on what you had last year, you know?
We can see. I mean, I would say the secondary did not live up to expectations as a whole. I thought they responded well, especially after the Utah State game where they just got torched over the top. Yeah. We didn't really see much of that after that. So I thought it was a good response. They had to deal with some injuries. That was tough. But yeah, you know, I'm right with the people in the comment section. I think Torrey coming back, you know, that eases a lot of worry you might have about Lewis Brown moving on. And
of course,
Justice Ross Simmons, you're up, man. He's a guy that's popped in a major way these last couple of years. Yeah. He's kind of the deep threat.
You got that size.
And he's, I mean, he can run.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see like what type of leap he's able to make.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got Dylan Goffney for another year, SMU receiver who can kind of play in the slot or out wide. You've got some versatility there. You've got some other young guys that you think are going to step up. The receiver room is going to be fine. You got, you know, 4-star receiver and Jordan Ross coming in as a true freshman. And I like all three of the receivers I signed out of high school. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's Jay Norvell, guys. Like, you got to trust Jay. This is what he does.
Just so, guy after guy. Mm-hmm. And a lot that's of the exactly guys right. that he produced that's at exactly Nevada right. that would have popped, like, in the coming years, they ended up going on to San Jose State and CSU and a couple other schools. But, like, the dude knows how to find talent. I've got no...
That's his bread and butter.
It's his bread and butter. Yeah. From day one, he came in and was like, this receiver room, it ain't it. We got to get bigger. We got to get faster. We're going to recruit the West Coast because it's what we know. It's where we have connections. Done all of that. Okay. You know, been really upfront about his recruiting approach. Has done a good job of executing it. One other guy, Grady Kelly, defensive tackle, multi-year starter. He moves on as well. Ends up back in Florida, an ACC at Florida State. Another guy that ends up back home, Lewis Brown, a Southern Cali guy. It makes sense that, you know, these guys end up back home. For Kelly, obviously, ending up at a Power Five, although that conversation's changing now with all the movement and stuff. Good opportunity for him.
A team who has won the ACC, firmly in the mix for the playoffs.
I mean, they went undefeated.
Goes from one Norvell to another.
True.
And, you know, Florida State, one of their breakout players on defense. Again, my name blindness is going to come into play here because I'm blanking on his name, but he's on my big board. He came from Central Michigan last year, you know, so that even just recently, just last year, they've had a history of getting an interior D lineman from the G5 and him taking a step up and really breaking out. Right.
Ultimately, if you. Tau.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Who I really like. That was the standout to me last season was Baratau. In a D-line that was improved, certainly had flashes, I think also we could say didn't live up to what we hoped.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think teams adjusted to Mo, especially after the first couple games. They started scheming away from him. You needed some of those other guys to step up. The good thing is you did see guys pop like Noor Gakuth and stuff. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, the goal line stats were not good. Third and short, they were not good.
Right.
There were just a lot of instances where they seemed much leakier than they should have been with those guys. So you want to find some consistency there. At the end of the day, Grady Kelly, very talented player, was a nice diamond in the rough find for the Adazio staff. I've been critical of their recruiting approach. He's a great find. Three-star, didn't have like any other significant interest.
Yeah.
Those are the guys where it kind of stings to lose because it's like, well, now you to Florida State. We found you. We developed you. You started here for multiple years. It's the game now. I'm not going to be the old guy ranting about the transfer portal. And like you said, you know, we got Baratau. We got some young guys. Wish them all well on their journey. We'll see.
If you're going to lose guys, you want them to go to programs that sound good. You can sell the next underrated three-star without a lot of offers in Florida on like, hey, give Colorado a chance, you know, like let's see what you can do for a couple of years. Yeah. Right. Come to Fort Collins, see what you can do. And you want to go back home. You might just have that opportunity if that comes up down the line, you know, but you're going to have to perform first.
That's a good point. We got a couple of comments here basically saying after leaning heavily on the portal, and this is something I've talked about on the pod a lot over the years, CSU is not going to be a big portal class year in and year out. They don't have the NIL. The NIL that they do have is going to go to retaining talent, keeping guys like BFN, like Noor Gakuth, Torrey Horton, and that's fine. You know, you're going to land a couple of transfers, but ultimately this is going to be a program that's built from the ground, that's developed, and it's going to have to be a similar approach to CSU basketball, which obviously is rolling 13-3 on a bit of a two-game skid right now. We're going to be joined by Nico Medved here in just a second. When you get hurt, guys, Bax and Shanker, they are here to help. Bax and Shanker win for Colorado families. They've been helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. No fees while they work on your case. No fees unless they win money and win money for you, of which they've already won over $1 billion for their clients. They are the bee's knees. Bacchus and Shanker, they serve all of Colorado with neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, and Fort Collins. They have the strength and power to serve you with more than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. They help with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accident, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help if you're injured at work. Call Bacchus and Shanker at 222-2222 to find out if you have a case for free. Bacchus and Shanker wins.
Oh, yeah.
Dre, it's cold. So when I get home tonight, probably going to watch a movie, crack open a couple of ice cold brick brews.
There it is. Yes.
You got to lean into it. I mean, we all know a couple of beers, you got to get that liquor warmed sometime. And with Breck Brew, they've got something for every occasion.
They sure do. They're our favorite. They've been with us for so, so long. Broncos country, Avalanche. Little lager, you want some seltzy in your life? Get seltzed up. It's Breck Brew. You know them, beer locator, you know the whole deal. Breckbrew.com. Find a Breck Brew near you. You're gonna need it, man. It's like stock up time. The snow's coming at 6. Breck Brew, High Plains Train drive through. Like we're doing it all. And and then we're having a nice night by the fire.
You heard the man. Check out Breck Brew. We are so fortunate to be joined by men's head basketball coach, Nico Medved. Really appreciate him taking some time. Nico, can you hear me? How's it going, man?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Thank you for doing this. I don't know if you heard at the beginning, but I was kind of talking you up. I just said, you know, a lot of coaches, they wouldn't do this after a 2-game winning streak, let alone a 2-game losing streak. So I really appreciate you for giving us some of your time. I guess just first things first, how are you sensing the guys are responding from this? This is a veteran group. It's a tough situation. We knew this league was going to be a gauntlet, though.
Oh, I think they're doing fine. I think, you know, you're like all of us, you're disappointed and you want to win every game, and we didn't play well. And I think, you know, the focus just remains on yourself and how do we improve? You know, how do we play better? But I think, as you know, we're in this little bit of a break here, a bye week. I think the other side of it is you look up and you kind of look at the big picture right now, and it doesn't take long to just kind of watch college basketball the last couple of days and see our sport. It's kind of what makes our sport so cool. You know, it's different. Anyone can beat anyone on any given night, and you see it all over college basketball, and you got to be able to respond to these things and move on to the next one. And so we're disappointed. You know, we expect we can win every game and wish we would have played better. But boy, if you let that get you down too much, you're going to be in for a long haul.
That's kind of the funny thing. And I was joking about that on the pod is, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, we were talking about the strength of the Mountain West, how good this league is, how hard it's going to be. And then when faced with that reality, sometimes the fans are like, oh my God, you know, the sky is falling. We know that's not the case. You know, this won't be the last team in the mix to drop a couple on the road. What was your biggest takeaway, though, from this loss on Tuesday night against Boise State? You guys battled, you hung tough, but what did you feel like was the biggest difference in that outcome?
Well, you know, disappointing. We really played excellent defense for most
great
of the game. I mean, if you were to tell me, we would have held them to, you know, 39% from the floor in a packed house and a huge game like that, I would have thought, boy, I really liked our chances. But you know, really early in the game, we turned the ball over a ton. I thought we forced some bad shots. We weren't stubborn enough to get the shots that we wanted. Now, you know, you got to, you know, credit your opponents too. I think when you get into league play, Justin, I mean, oftentimes it's harder to get good shots. Everybody knows each other so well, which is why it becomes harder to get easy baskets. But we really didn't give ourselves an opportunity with some of the sloppy turnovers and poor shot selection. And I just thought that really, really cost us. And in the second half, you know, when we got it going a little bit, for whatever reason, I thought we had a lot of quality looks. We just couldn't get anything to go down. And so really, really frustrating night on that end of the floor. You know, the rebounding was pretty good most of the night. It got to us late, you know, in the game, and we had no margin for error, and we just had to get every stop. And so really disappointing. We didn't play better on that end of the floor, because I thought we really, really guarded well. And it was frustrating. You know, I was frustrated. The guys were frustrated. It was a long road trip. We were on the road for 6 days. And, but I think, you know, again, as you get up and you assess things and you try to look at the big picture too, I think, sitting where we are right now, you know, 13-3, we still, everything we want is still right in front of us, and we got to focus on what's next year.
You mentioned the turnovers. I'm sure that's an area you'd like to see them clean it up. I think it's about 3 more per game than what you guys were averaging in non-conference. The 3-point shooting is down, but it does feel like the shot selection as a whole has been good. It's not like guys are jacking up bad shots. It just kind of seems like some of the shots that were falling early, some of these open shots from deep, some of the post touches, you know, for Joel Scott and some of these guys, some of the layups that they were converting on, maybe just I've been just a little off these last couple of days. Is that a situation where you just wait for it to regress back to the mean, knowing that you're getting good opportunities, or do you try and shake it up a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. You go through ebbs and flows in a season, you know, guys, you miss shots, make shots. I mean, I think you want to look at your overall shot quality. I think for the most part we are, but I also think we can work harder to get better shots at times than we have. And again, when you get into league play, it becomes harder and harder. And especially sometimes in those situations on the road, you know, I other than, you know, we got court stormed twice, you know, and that's awesome. I think the venues around the Mountain West, the level of passion that these fans have, the quality of play in the league is just awesome. And so I think it's a little bit of both. I think we can be better. Some of the decision-making, some of the passing decisions, can continue to get better as we understand how teams are guarding us. And sometimes you just have to be a little bit more stubborn and work a little bit harder to get quality shots. And you can't get down when good shots aren't going. That's, you don't control that all the time. That's the way basketball goes. And, you know, I'm a believer water does find its level, and guys who've shown that they can make shots will eventually find their groove again. And I think people have to remember too, guys like Jalen Lake and Josiah Strong are just kind of coming back into mm-hmm. the lineup. And I think sometimes, you know, just taking a little bit of time to find their groove, I think hopefully both of those guys will find, you know, they'll get their braces off their hands, and hopefully that stuff will help them too. So we just got to focus on getting better and all the confidence in the world in these guys, and we'll be ready on Tuesday.
I'm sure that's probably a bit of the factor as well. I mean, some of these guys coming back from injury, some of the other guys that were playing while you know, Josiah and Jalen are injured, now their role kind of changes. I just, the whole kind of flow, maybe it takes some time to get used to it. You mentioned needing to work the ball, be a little bit more stubborn at times. That was one of the things I talked about, just trying to get to the line a little bit more. You know, only 10 free throw attempts, I believe, or 11 against Boise State. Would you like to see guys be a little bit more assertive in that regard? And have you sensed any hesitancy when the shots aren't falling, that maybe guys aren't, I don't know, as aggressive?
No, in fact, maybe I'd even go the other way. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, Boise does a great job, and like much like we did, I mean, of playing physical without fouling. I mean, I think that's something. I think, to be honest, a lot of times, you know, we played really good defense. We forced them late in the shot clock. We would get stops. And what I mean by being stubborn is I think sometimes we were too aggressive. We were trying to make okay. things happen maybe that weren't there, you know, forcing turnovers and in transition, or maybe forcing a shot. And I mean by stubborn is sometimes, you know, these are things we've been good at for most of the year. So it's not like it's something that hasn't shown up before, or that we haven't shown we're capable of doing, but you're only as good as your last game, right? Just because you did it yesterday doesn't guarantee you can do it today. So we just, you know, sometimes we need to be a little bit more stubborn, a little bit more patient at times. And just because we like to run and push the ball in transition doesn't always mean you're going to get quality shots early in a possession. And again, it's harder to score against good teams. And so, the level of basketball being played in this league is absolutely tremendous, and the coaches do a great job. And, so that's what I mean by being stubborn, is that sometimes you probably have to be a little bit more patient. And sometimes, Justin, you know, you work hard, and it doesn't always guarantee you're going to get a great shot. That's the way this game works. But, so it's a little bit of all that. And then I think sometimes what happens is it just takes, you know, one or two shots going in, and kind of that mojo, so to speak, starts to come back, and we've got to find that again. But it's just, you know, one of those streaks that we're in right now.
I've asked you about this before, and it's just something that, like, having observed Isaiah Stevens now for so long, getting to watch Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets, one of the things that I feel is very similar about them is they're so unselfish. Like, it's just a part of their DNA. They want to facilitate. They want to playmake. I think at times it's maybe even more important to them than scoring. Isaiah is obviously a very competitive player. I just wonder, are there times, and I mean like very, very small instances, where you'd like him to maybe be a little more selfish, and like, this is an Isaiah possession. Like, I love that he's facilitating. I love that he's creating for others, but maybe if you're down and the shots aren't falling, this is a situation where we need him to go into that like Zay mode that we saw against UNLV.
Well, I think that's a tough one, because, you know, the one thing I love about him, and, you know, he's the first one to own it. I mean, you know, he'd be the first one to say, you know, hey, I didn't play as well as I could play on this road trip. And I think it's a fine line. You have to be who you are as a player. You know, if you try to be somebody that you're not, I think that's when you get into trouble. And for sure, we want Zay to be aggressive, but I think also sometimes it can go the other way, where sometimes, you know, you feel like you have to try to do something. You try to have to make something happen that's not there. And when you draw so much attention, you still have to play the game that you're comfortable playing. And I think, so that's a fine line. And, you know, Zay has the green light to be aggressive. But sometimes, you know, you can almost become too aggressive too at times. You try to tell yourself, I got to make something happen that's not there. Zay is an All-American level player. He's a tremendous player, but he's, you know, he's not James Harden, right? He's Isaiah Stevens, you know, and I think, and you know what I mean by that is that he still has to play the game that he's comfortable with playing. And sometimes that does mean being more aggressive, but sometimes it's just continuing to make the right play. And that's what he has to do. We got a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket too. And so, I think that's a fine line when you say that, but you definitely can't get out of character. You have to play the way that you know you're capable of playing at the highest level.
What kind of growth have you seen from Nate Clifford? I mean, when you look at his numbers right now, it's insane, like 60% from the field, over 50% from three. He's shown he can do it all. He can get to the hoop. He can hit jump shots. I mean, I imagine this is what you envisioned when you brought him over.
He's been awesome. I mean, it's just to see the buy-in and just kind of, you know, let go and just live in the moment. And he's getting so comfortable with what we're doing, letting the game come to him. And I'm a believer, you know, we're talking about it yesterday. And you know, when guys start to play really efficiently, it's a combination of they work really, really hard at their game. They're in the gym. They spend time at their craft. They're watching film. They're buying into what we're trying to do as a team, and they're taking good shots. You know, it's usually a combination of all those things, and he's really doing that at a high level, and he's making the game look really simple, but he's being aggressive. He's really doing a great job within our system, and he's such a great young man and so coachable, and it's been great to have him, you know, have him have the success that he's having, and, you know, he's continuing to get to the top of guys' scouting reports. And that's going to continue to happen. But I think he's going to keep it going here. And he's just been really dynamic for this team.
I know you got to get out of here in just a sec. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but you had an opportunity to go down to Denver, see David play in person with the Grizzlies. His role's been expanded a little bit of late. And they've got some weird circumstances going on as a franchise that we don't have to get into. But what's it like to see a guy that you signed and developed catching bodies in the NBA and like being Sports Center top 10 worthy?
Well, there's just nothing more gratifying as a coach than to see these young people, you know, come in and they give you everything that they have and to see them living out their dreams. And it's really awesome. And it's so cool to have David as connected as he is still with our program and our guys. And like I said, it didn't work out, you know, last season for us to see him in person based on our schedule. So it was great to had the opportunity to go see him in person play. And it's awesome. And he's going to continue to do great things. And I love, again, like how he still follows us, watches all the games when he can. And I think that's really, really cool. And really, really proud of him. And he's, as you know, he's as good of a kid as he is player. And it's fun to watch him. I try to turn on the Grizzlies every opportunity I get.
Last thing I just wanted to ask you, and we kind of got into this a little bit earlier, but do you feel like the weekend off is beneficial just in terms of getting a chance to reset, or would you have rather played and then kind of off of that as well? You know, you talked about getting court stormed back-to-back times. Probably nice to come home a little bit, although it's cool to see, and it's a nod of respect to what you guys mean and, you know, the college basketball conversation, that a win over the Rams is worthy of, you know, storming and back-to-back outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, I read in the, you know, both the games we played, I was in the Boise paper. You know, I don't try not to read much of what the opponents say, but I realized they had the nation's longest home winning streak. And I think the mantra that day was, you know, we have the nation's longest home winning streak, and a win tonight against the Rams would be the biggest one of all of them, you know, considering where they were at. And it is, it's cool. And the great thing for us is, Justin, when those teams come back to Moby, they're going to face the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes college basketball great. And you know, there's going to be ups and downs, you know, as we keep going on in the season. You just got to keep grinding, keep going forward. We believe in what we're doing and believe in each other. And that's what we're going to do. And you know what? Maybe this time off is good. It was great to get back home. So we've been on the road for 6 days. So to have an opportunity to get back and get in a routine, you know, kind of when you're on the road that long, a lot of these guys kind of get out of the routines that they have. And so I think to be back is great. Get back to the practice floor a little bit and get ready to get back after it. And I can't wait to get back out to Moby and have all of our friends back behind us. Our students are back here, are going to be back next week. And so it's going to be a fun ride in the Mountain West, and there'll be ups and downs, but you know, we're going to fight. I can tell you that.
I can't wait, man. These next couple of months, I know it's going to be a challenge, but it's just going to be so much fun. It's awesome to see this program, you know, be elevated the way that it has, but also just the whole league. Like, as a Mountain West guy, it's fun to see night in and night out the quality basketball that's being played. Thank you so much for your time. You know, this means the world to me. You've been great since the first day that you came into the program, and we're obviously always rooting for you. So see you next week. I'm looking forward to it. And Nate, thank you so much.
Yeah, Justin, man, anytime, man. I'm always happy to come on and talk about the Rams. So appreciate you covering us, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Stay warm out there.
Thank you.
That was a fun one, man.
That was fantastic. You want me to take us on a quick little break and
Let's
we'll get into
breather.
All that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that made possible by our presenting sponsor, High Plains Strains. You can't get two goats talking about the Rams on this pod without them driving fans to sorry about that. High Plains Strains provides top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Check them out. Your needs include infused edibles, high potency concentrates, and some of the best flower in the state. There are three High Plains Strains locations in Colorado: Long Lane Village, Garden City, and Sedgwick. All sorts of deals. Use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in stores. We love that they have drive-thrus. It's the way to go. If you are around a High Plains Strains, go check them out. Use that code DNVR and get in on all their deals because they make this possible for us.
Got so much love for High Plains Strains. And, I mean, the drive-thru? Are you kidding me? So
yeah,
clutch. Use that code DNVR for all of their great deals. They got everything you need, as does our friends over at FOCO. They are a leading merchandise and apparel. They make everything, man. Bobbleheads. They really are
so
one of the coolest. Basically, the majority
here, yeah.
of our set is
of
courtesy
set.
Of
yes.
FOCO. I'm in a spot where I have so much sports memorabilia that it doesn't logically make sense for me to go on FOCO and browse because I don't have any room for it. But I can't help it because their stuff is that cool. Like,
so true.
You know, Nuggets championship baubles, I gotta have that.
Yeah.
Avalanche,
yeah.
I mean, I'm on it. They always have our back for Colorado sports. They're going to have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use the code DNVR and get 10% off your order. Man, oh man, this has been a lot of fun. Shout out to Nico Medved, man. I'm glad
fantastic.
You got to be here for that because there are so few coaches in the country that are willing to be open, that are willing to, I mean, I can go to whatever practice I want. I can watch whatever I want. He'll answer whatever questions I have. If it's a critical question, he's not immediately going to get like defensive and up in arms because he knows that the root of the question is we're trying to make the audience be more informed. He gets it in a way that so few coaches don't. And I hope that not just CSU fans, but like college sports fans as a whole in this state recognize how fortunate we are to have a guy like him who's phenomenal from the X's and O's, but can recruit,
right.
is a program
right.
builder, represents the school the right way. I mean, I've got so much love for the guy.
Yeah, and you can just see from that interview what makes him a great leader. Like, there's just a very... He's obviously a good communicator, but he has a very calm demeanor and a great perspective. You know, like, he's coming off this tough road trip, two losses in a row, but he's got that right perspective. He understands a lot of the things we're saying about the league being loaded, you know. He can have that perspective on, like, this was the toughest of all this unbeaten home streak that Boise's in. This was the toughest opponent, the biggest game of them all, and that they'll be able to return the favor at Moby, you know, that this is just going to be a tough road matchup. But you can just tell, even from that short interview, what makes him good at what he does as a leader.
It's a big reason why, even after a loss, you know, it's easy for me to keep faith in this program because I see them. I see them after a 40-point win. I see them after a heartbreaking defeat on a buzzer beater. I see them when they get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
There's always accountability. There's always honesty. It's always, hey, we did great here.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
our transition defense, excellent. But God, we've got to be tougher in the half-court sets.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's no BS. And it's refreshing. I wish there were more coaches that interacted that way. I honestly think some of them, it's an annoyance thing because they don't respect the people that are covering them.
Sure,
and that's another
sure.
thing. Like, he treats all of us with respect. Like, we're human beings. Like, we know what, what we're talking about, which we do. But also, it's just like a... It makes everything better. Like, your audience is more informed. You know, it doesn't have to be hot takes. Like, I don't know. I get I'm propping the guy up here. But, I mean, it's easy to see... You know, why he's doing such a great job. And it's easy to see why Ram fans are so desperate to keep him around. And if you're CSU, man, you got to do everything in your power institutionally to lock this dude down, like double the contract. You got to give him all the resources he needs for recruiting and assistant pools and whatever he wants so that, you know, if a school that has just a little bit more money comes around, it's, you know, I could leave, but the truth is I can accomplish everything I want right here in Fort Collins. This is one of the top basketball leagues in the country. I can sell out games. I can, you know, go on the road and losses aren't going to murder me, like, you know, in the WCC or something. You can do everything here. It's just on CSU to kind of, you know, match that level of commitment.
100%. And I think, you know, the last several years, I've been really impressed from that commitment from the athletic department.
They've made big strides.
Obviously, the NIL era.
It changes everything.
Time to buckle up and like get everyone
engaged. You gotta dive head first.
Get everyone back in. And I'm sure, you know, like there'll be a 2-year window before things change again, you know? So just be ready for that commitment. But I mean, yeah, what else could you say? It's clear the trajectory's had this program on. And I think it's clear you need to try everything you can to keep this up. And obviously we don't want to get ahead of ourselves because he's in the middle of a pivotal season, a season where, as he said, the Rams still have everything in front of them to accomplish everything they're really setting out. You've set a goal for the Sweet 16. I think the conference is very winnable. You know, literally we're ranked 17th, so we're not like pie in the sky, like Sweet 16. You'd be one of the 16 best in the country. They're right there. What stood out to you most though from that conversation with Nico?
I think just I hadn't really considered that perspective with some of the turnovers. I still do stand by what I said, that I do think there is some hesitancy in certain spots when the jumpers aren't falling. But that's more later in the game that I've kind of noticed that. And I wonder if, like, early on, guys are driving, they're trying to do too much. It's something, I'm going to go back. The first thing I'm going to do is rewatch this Boise State game and kind of see, like, did he drive into traffic here? Was there an outlet? What was the plan? But I think that's interesting, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You're on the road. You're playing two quality physical defenses that, you know, aggressively guard you on ball, and they're going to throw some different looks at you. It makes sense that they kind of got out of sort, and I love having conversations like this, and I love how open he is because then it allows you to be like, oh, that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? You need those perspectives.
Well, my takeaway was I thought they did a good job in the first half of Boise of, like, really trying to get the ball down low, really trying to get, you know,
those touches,
right? And draw fouls and what have you. And he, instead, one of his first points was we didn't play well in the first half. We didn't get, our shot selection was poor. And then talking about the turnover. So maybe that was a bit more force than what we might perceive as hesitancy, which is just like, let's play in the flow of this offense. Keep passing it, keep letting the ball flow and see what shots we can get out of this.
Right? And I think he made a good point about, like, yes, when it's easy for me to be like, just go into Zay mode. At the end of the day, like, this offense is so dangerous because it's you're going 4 or 5 out and all of these guys are capable of burning you. I can beat you with a Cartier 3 at the top of the key. Or I can post up with my back to the basket. Or my back to the basket.
Yes.
I can, you know, dish it out and hit one of these guys in the corner on a wing. Like, it, they need to not lose sight of that. So I don't, I just think it's good to get those perspectives every now and then.
For
and I think, like, at the end of the day, as much as, you know, it's easy for me to be like, Jokic, take over, he is always going to be who he is. And who he is the smartest, smartest, skilled, savviest player on the court. I'm getting tongue-tied, but that's how much I love Isaiah Stevens.
Well, and the other thing is, I do think this year, Isaiah really has been on the cusp of just that perfect balance. Because there's been plenty of times where he does take over and have, he does come up with that clutch shot.
It, you know, where he's able to drive and get to his spot and hit a mid-range that anybody else on the team takes. And you'd be like, really, that one? And he does it and makes it look effortless.
Right. I mean, he'll take those shots and then hit like just the tiniest inch of nylon. You know,
it's
like,
insane.
It's such a pure. He's really fun to watch. Any other takeaways for you?
Just that this is a team that wasn't going to panic, and I'm not surprised. I mean, I wasn't out on the road, obviously, for this trip, but if you would have asked me post-game, I was like, I guarantee you that I will be more flustered, and I'm pretty even-keeled compared to some of the people out there, but they're so even-keeled, and they have so much self-belief, as they should. I mean, these are they have 3 2,000-point scorers on their team. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think the point that Nico talked about with playing great defense is something I probably did not emphasize enough yesterday. I mean, I kind of glanced over some of the numbers there, but I mean, you held Boise State to 65 points on sub 40% from the field, 33%. Yeah.
The field goal
gave up
percentage.
A too many free throws, but like outside of that, and a lot of those are late too.
They're late.
If you defend like that consistently, the offense is going to be better than what it was. You're going to win a lot of games.
That field goal percentage is insane, especially because the final 10 minutes of that game, they go full court press.
Yeah.
And so there are a couple like just, shit, we on the double team, they got the pass out.
It's going to happen.
And it
they
was
broke
wide.
The press.
Yeah, they broke the press. So, I mean, that could be sub 35. And no, it's true. I mean, they had to make some really tough shots. Down low and then...
Meadow doesn't make three circus threes with the hand in his face.
Right.
True freshman stepping up in a huge moment. Credit to him. He was good in high school.
They made a couple corner threes that the Rams missed.
That the Rams missed.
And they made a couple tough shots, especially the Meadows ones, that the Rams didn't go down for him, right? And hey, that's basketball.
It's a game of shots. Sometimes you miss a couple that you normally make, and the other team makes a couple of tough ones. And
especially when shots are at a premium. Like,
and that's another
deal.
You know, good point that he brought home is, you know, you can do everything right and still not make the basket. Like, sometimes we oversimplify things, just like in football. Like, the play worked, so it was a good play, or the play worked or didn't work, so it was a bad play. It's like, not necessarily. Yes. It could have been a good design, but this one little thing went wrong and therefore it didn't work. Or, yeah, we scored a touchdown, but it went right through the DB's hands. It wasn't a good play.
100%. We are results-oriented. Ultimately, people like Coach are evaluated on those results, but they have to be process-oriented.
Yes.
What led to the results is what they're focused on. The results are kind of a byproduct of that. And, it's that having that right perspective. Having that right mindset.
I think that's pretty much all I have to say on this one. They've got a couple of big games coming up. I'm going to have some content coming out and have a couple of guests here in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out on that DNVR feed. You can check that out. We'll have some stuff on the DNVR YouTube, of course, but also in Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you happen to get your podcasts. Thank you to everybody in the comment section for rocking with us this morning. I know I didn't give you guys a ton of advance with this interview. It came together kind of late, which I really appreciate CSU Athletics for putting together. I appreciate Nico Medved for hopping on with us. Huge two home games coming up against Air Force and UNLV next weekend. Moby needs to be rocking. It needs to be the same type of atmosphere that the Rams had to deal with on the road. They now need that in their favor. This team's 13-3. If they win a couple of games, they're going to be right back in that top 20. They're still capable of winning the league. They're still capable of making a run in the tournament, of doing all the special things that we hope for. But it's going to be tough. So that's really all there is to it. This is going to be a brutal league, as Nico talked about. Dre, thank you.
Thank
Alyssa,
you,
behind the sticks, shout out to you for making this run so smoothly. We could not do it without you. And shout out to all you in Ram Nation. Stay safe, stay warm. Much love. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tee.
She's tucked into new Prada jeans, and we ain't spoke in a month. But I just saw her last week, the lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums, and my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping, two left feet like a middle school slow dance. No one knew how to lead, but I'm still thankful for